Welcome back to the podcast. This is Eye on Digital Marketing, episode number 29. Once again, don't forget you can follow us on social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at More Visibility, one word. Or if you want to sign up for our monthly newsletter, feel free to visit our website, morevisibility.com. Under resources, you can find our newsletter, sign up there, and you'll get some great monthly tips from our industry experts. Speaking of industry experts, my guest today is Vice President of Digital Services, Matt Crowley. Matt, how are you?
Doing great. How are you, Chuck?
I'm doing excellent, and hopefully we'll be doing better after this podcast of all the SEO tips and knowledge that we're going to drop on the listeners today about re-optimization. And our topic really involves and really is fueled by a lot of recent conversations that I've had with clients. I know, Matt, you can probably relate in some of the meetings you've been in, which is after an SEO foundation is laid, talking about technical content, things that you're doing with the site, what's next? And I think at a high level, Matt, how do you explain the difference of SEO optimization versus SEM optimization? And I use that comparison because a lot of people are used to SEM optimization where I can flip a switch if I have an issue or I can change it really fast. That's not necessarily the same flow or same methodology with SEO, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's a lot of different ways to think about this, and we'll talk about a lot of them today. But an easy analogy, I think, for a lot of people is that in SEO, we're really looking over much longer time horizons to look at data and trends and changes. And so SEO is much more akin to, if you're thinking about financial investing, long-term investing compared to SEM, which can be a bit of that, but also there's much more components of sort of a day trading mentality where day to day and week to week, you're essentially turning different levers and knobs to try to see the types of results that you're getting in real time. And the time horizon with SEO is just much longer than that because of the economics of how the two channels work. And SEM, you have that immediate impact and those immediate results that you can see because you can turn the levers and knobs to have your ads be shown almost instantaneously. But with SEO, search engines have to crawl and render and index your content. They have to affect change in search results over time. And the landscape changes much more slowly than it does in SEM in terms of after changes are made when you start seeing results. So it is a longer time horizon. And so that can be challenging because they're both search. So a lot of times It's a misconception that SEM and SEO work very similarly to one another because they are search. Someone's entering a keyword, they're seeing generally a text ad or organic result, and they're clicking on it.
Right.
But the mechanics of the channels work very differently.
And just judging off that description right there, I think a lot of people take the SEM strategy a little bit more liberal because they know that they can turn it on or off, where we preach all the time when it comes to SEO, if you're thinking about your strategy the same way, that could hurt you because of what you said. It's a different animal in the race. It's running at a different pace, and there's a lot of different factors involved. So with that being said, Matt, if I'm looking at my website, kind of going, you know, top down from your description, getting a little bit more granular here, are there certain buckets that I can look at my website and my SEO efforts and begin to have these different buckets that I keep up with? How do you look at that puzzle or pie when you talk about SEO?
Absolutely. So there's a few core areas that are always going to be important to focus on, but the level of depth that you may or may not need to focus on any given area is really going to be dependent on what your maturity level is within search, SEO, and each of these areas respectively, as well as how many resources you have to devote to a given topic, and then what the likely impact of changes in that area are really going to be. And so one of the first ones is technical. With technical SEO, you have to make sure that search engines can do their job effectively. You have to make sure that you don't have barriers to them being able to find and access your content and actually do their job to return that content to users. So technical SEO is really the first bucket. And then content is the next big one. So if search engines are effectively able to find and access your content, you want to make sure that you're at that point thinking very strategically about your audience, who you want to show up, who you want your results to show up for, what their intent is, what they're trying to accomplish. Are they looking for educational information, or are they looking to convert, to buy a product, or submit a form and become a lead to potentially become a client? And so there's a lot that has to go into content strategy, content optimization, content creation, so on and so forth. So technical first, then content, and then design and user experience is a big one. So user experience is a pretty broad term, but here really more focused on the design and layout of pages and content. You can't just have all the right copy, but have it laid out in one long paragraph of 5,000 words. It's not going to be effective. So you have to have a design and user experience within the content and layout of your site, the templates that you're using, the different types of content beyond copy, including graphics and images and icons and video. And so design and user experience is a third bucket that's really important. And then the last is promotion. You need to make sure that the important areas of your site that you're focused on wanting to have a lot of great organic visibility are getting adequate promotion beyond the site. And so that's going to be things like PR and outreach and link building and all of the components that really extend to the promotion and distribution of the content. So those are sort of the four key areas or buckets that may have a lot of subtopics and certainly do within them. But when an organization or company is looking at SEO, those are the four key areas to really start with. And then to drill down from there, depending on your needs. One good example on a spectrum, if you have a 10 or 20 or 30 page content heavy brochure type site, there's no e-commerce, there's not a large number of pages. Technical SEO, while important, is probably going to be a lower time and materials investment than content. But if you are a multi-million page e-commerce website, content's going to be important, but technical is going to be really critical there because it's going to be much more cumbersome for search engines to just navigate your site. So there are differences in where you would want to focus to start.
So with that example right there, I think the natural largest question is, you know, once a listener hears about the technical content design and UX and promotion bucket, and now they have these four buckets in mind and that makes sense to them, I think a natural next question would be, is there a priority that you should be looking at these? But from the example you just gave, it sounds like that really depends on your business goals, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The number one is what's going to drive the needle with business goals, or at least set you up and be the foundational steps that will get you to improving your business goals. With anything in SEO, it's got to align back to the business, the goals and objectives of the organization. But certainly, you know, as you go through uncovering opportunities and strategies and tactics, it's important to prioritize all of those initiatives, those tasks that need to be implemented with what's going to get you there. And there may be some things, certainly, and oftentimes with technical SEO, that are a high priority, but that's not going to directly lead to your goal or objective, but is critical to remove that barrier so that when you do implement those content changes that are directly tied to your business goal and objective, that they're going to work and that you're going to see results from them and that technical issues aren't going to hold you back. So it's always a conversation that has to be had with someone who's experienced with understanding the priority order of tasks from an SEO perspective.
Right.
But then it always has to be done in conjunction with the business goals and objectives so that you never lose sight of what's really going to move the needle.
So even if I was the company and or client that had the brochure site that you gave the example of, and I know that out of those four buckets, content is likely going to be my bread and butter and where I make the most impact. You're saying, however, if I have low-hanging fruit on the technical side, don't ignore that bucket just because it's not my main priority. There could be one or two things that you could clean up and fix that would make it a lot easier for a search engine to crawl your site.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a technical issue that is a 5-minute fix and is stopping search engines from accessing your site, but you go focus all this time and energy and effort on content because that's tied to the right audience that you're going to get in front of to increase leads from the forms that you have on your site or the white papers or downloads or webinars or whatever it may be, then you don't want to just ignore that technical issue because, you know, updating the robots.txt isn't going to get you another lead.
Right.
You don't want to leave that because it will, while it may not directly get you a lead, it's going to stop you and it's going to inhibit the success of the content changes. So yeah. It all comes down to what the issues are. But at the end of the day, you have to look across the whole spectrum from technical to content design, user experience, and promotion, and really have a serious conversation with an expert who knows about SEO to identify and understand what the priority orders are for the channel, and then also have the conversation about what the priority orders are for the business. Blend those two together, and then you've got your prioritized task list.
Okay, so let's take it a step further now. Here's likely a common situation that you've heard as well. I definitely hear on the client side, and a lot of people listening may find themselves in this particular situation where they say, I've either worked with my internal team or an agency in the past, let's say, but you know, within the last 1 to 2 years. All these buckets that you're talking about, Matt, technical, content, design, UX, promotion, link building, we did that, and we built a great foundation. But I have no idea, really, how to approach what's next. People keep telling me that SEO is ongoing optimization. They keep telling me I should always be looking at this. But those four buckets are really big, and I'm just not sure about the cues or indicators I should be looking for. So could you break down maybe some specific examples from each bucket? Maybe we start with technical, for example. Is it a cue that you should be looking for? Should you still rely on your business goals? How methodically should a client, a company, a brand think about SEO optimization beyond year one and two?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is a very common misconception, even by people who have some experience in SEO, that you can have a sort of a year one dive into SEO, conduct a lot of strategy, put a lot of plans, you could execute everything on your list, and you're done. You're good, and everything can be set in the future because of the way that results work in SEO. As we mentioned earlier, you're sort of making this investment that's going to pay dividends over time. And so you can do that, and you could stop SEO. And if you've done everything right, and you had opportunity to be gained, you could likely see continual positive performance increases after you stop.
Sure.
Because you're sort of harvesting the profit, so to speak, from the SEO work that you did in year one.
Got it.
That's going to stop at some point. It's going to slow down, or it's going to change, because if you assume that that's going to continue forever in as equally of an exponential manner, then you're assuming that everything outside of your company is staying exactly the same, that the world is frozen, so to speak, outside of your world. And we know that's not true on any front. Competitors are going to be making changes. They're going to be doing things from a marketing, SEO, promotional endeavor that are going to change the landscape. And if you saw results because you did something better than their content, and you sort of leapfrog them in organic visibility, then if you don't do anything, you're assuming they're not going to do anything, and they're just going to stay there. But if they start making changes, they could very easily then leapfrog you again, because they've outmatched the content to the user intent or whatever it may be. So one area is that the competitive landscape is likely always going to be changing. Unless you're in an industry that there are no competitors and nothing's changing, and God bless you if that's the case.
Yeah, let me know what industry that is.
I'd love to be in that business. So the competitive landscape's always going to change. Number two, Google's always going to change. They haven't given us any recent data on 2019, so I'm using 2018 data, but they made conducted over 654,000 experiments in 2018 to test new ways to show results to users. That's everything from things that may impact organic rankings to the actual visibility and user interface, introduction of carousels or rich results that have stars and ratings and reviews, integration or changes to paid search landscape, flights, hotels. They've run hundreds and thousands of experiments, and then they've also made a lot of changes. They made over 3,200 changes, which is over 8 changes a day. So if you do nothing, and they're making 8 changes a day,
one day goes by, you're behind.
So, you know, and not all of those are going to impact everyone equally, certainly, but that's a lot of change in the visibility, the structure, the user interface, how results are laid out, and also how search engines like Google are ranking results. And that's just Google, and then there's Bing and others. So number one, your competitive landscape is going to be changing. Number two, the search landscape is certainly going to be changing.
Yeah.
And then even beyond that, user intent and your target audience is going to be changing. That's everything from something that can happen on the drop of a hat. You have a PR crisis and you have these branded search results that looked great yesterday, but now are filled with controversial news around your organization.
Yeah.
Or, for example, you know, you can see these I'm sure anyone has seen this change when there's a severe weather event, whether you're in the Southeast like us and it's a hurricane, you're in the Midwest and there's a tornado, you're in the Northeast and there's a snowstorm. If you look at, you know, you do a search for your city or, you know, down by us, my name, Matt or Matthew, when there was Hurricane Matthew, you search it one day and you're seeing results from sites that give you baby name opportunities and the meaning behind the name Matthew. And then the next day, it's the entire search result is just filled with information about the hurricane because Google's adapting based on user intent. Users are no longer looking for information on baby names when they search Matthew. They're looking for information on the hurricane.
Right.
And so those are really sort of acute examples, but users change their behavior over time. And the search results are going to change based on that. You know, we've seen in healthcare, for example, searches that used to be things that maybe only physicians were doing because they were very specific and sort of more scientific in nature have changed to show more patient and educational focused results because healthcare consumers have become more sophisticated.
Yeah.
They've been empowered with much more knowledge than they had before. And so if you put everything together at a point in time and never revisit it, you're not accounting for competitors changing, you're not accounting for the search landscape changing, and you're not accounting for your audience and your users changing. And as we know, they're changing rapidly, and things from certain industries are carrying over with all of the Uber and Netflix and Airbnb, the consumerization of a lot of these legacy industries, users are changing all of their behavior. And so you don't want to let all of that come and outdo or override all of the great work that you put in year one. So it's critical that you sort of continue or stay up with the times. And sometimes that means in certain areas that you may not have to do a lot. Maybe if you have a business and you have, you know, 30, 50 service lines, maybe, or for a good portion of those service lines, maybe things aren't changing every 6 months. But certainly it doesn't make sense to forget about it forever. And so there may be some areas that as you're prioritizing looking back at, you want to think about what areas are changing more rapidly and less rapidly, and certainly focus on taking another look at the keyword landscape, user intent, the search landscape and results, and look at all of that over time for the areas that you're seeing some more rapid change.
Yeah, there's so much obviously in what you just said, but as you were talking, I'm thinking about one major sentence or goal for the listeners, clients, and companies out there, which is right now, if you're thinking about SEO as a strategy that you implement and then move on to something else, stop that right now and get out of that mind state, because that is going to infiltrate likely everything else you do. And you're never going to take that approach that you were talking about, which is first of all, understanding SEO is ongoing for all the factors that you mentioned. And then that's going to translate into how you view your optimizations and what you do. So if you're still in the mindset of, yes, we did an SEO strategy last year, we're fine for now, you're likely not thinking about it correctly. And another thing that popped in my head as you were talking about the real world events and the hurricane example that you gave, which is certainly happens a lot here in South Florida, especially with people's names, is Super Bowl coming up. And there was a story that just dropped this morning, actually, that I was reading on the way to work, which had SEO components to it that I don't even think, I would say 99% of the people who are reading it even knew. Unfortunately, this past weekend, you know, we lost one of the most iconic basketball players ever, Kobe Bryant, in a tragic helicopter crash. And gearing up towards the Super Bowl, Mr. Planters, who's been the peanut mascot for since I can remember, probably since we were born, Planters had plans to unveil this marketing campaign where Mr. Planters was actually killed off and came back as Mr. Roasted Planters. And how he did that was ironically eerily similar to how Kobe Bryant passed. And this morning, their marketing team had to quickly, on the fly, because of a real-world event, not just change their commercial and their campaign, they had websites ready that I'm sure had metadata, that I'm sure had content, that I'm sure were geared off search terms, all that stuff. So, and that's a huge company spending millions of dollars for a Super Bowl advertisement, and now 5-6 days beforehand, they completely have to rethink what they're doing because portraying that same thing based on what happened to Kobe Bryant 2 days ago just wouldn't be right. So the real world is so important to remember because how could they predict that? That's not anything Google was testing. That's not that. That's a real world example. So I think that's just so important and something that I read this morning and I was like, I don't think a lot of people are thinking behind the scenes all the work that they're going to have to do now to make sure that any negative buzz when people search isn't related to planters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's clear the world is not a static place and, you know, you would be not doing your job if you weren't considering what's happening in the world around you and in a channel like social or out of home advertising. And you wouldn't be doing your job in SEM, excuse me, in any sort of paid advertising field if you just set the budgets today and set the campaigns up and never change them again in the future.
Yeah.
That would certainly not account for anything that would be new opportunities that would come up, changes in ad units, new ad units, new lines of business or services that you're focused on, or new competitors or entrants to the market.
Yeah.
It wouldn't account for any of that. If you're in analytics and you set your analytics up and never change it again in the future, you've probably added white papers or webinars or downloads, resources, new areas that you could be tracking for goals. Maybe your landing page URLs changed and you need to update your goals, but if you leave your analytics in place and never revisit it again, you're not doing your job. And so it's the same thing with SEO as any channel. Things change and a lot of things change and they change pretty rapidly in this day and age. And so you have to always take a look backwards and say, is what we did before still relevant, or do we need to go back and revisit it? And that could be everything from technical to content to promotion to what have you. You know, you could look back and say with technical, maybe there's new technical opportunities. Maybe there's new structured data markup. You could look back at technical also and say, you know, if we did a technical audit 2 or 3 years ago, well, if we've been making changes to our site for 2 or 3 years, what if someone accidentally introduced an issue? You know, developers have a lot to consider, and technical SEO changes over time, and they may not be fully aware of all of the considerations. So they may release something that might have a regression issue or might impact some other section of the site from a technical SEO perspective. So if you haven't reviewed it, you could be in trouble. You know, with content, user intent, landscape, you know, we've talked about a lot that could change there. Promotion, maybe other sites, other competitors have been doing more PR efforts around specific service lines or product lines, and they've increased their visibility there through promotional efforts and link building. Things definitely change on all these fronts, and so it's important to regularly go back and look. And the other thing, you know, that we hear a lot is, well, you know, if we go back and do a technical SEO review and nothing's there, like, wasn't that just a waste of time? But, you know, if you, that's a good thing,
right?
If there's no, because that means that you're not going to have a lot more capital expenditures to go put new technical changes in place. If you go to the doctor, you're not hoping that there's something bad that they're going to tell you so you can fix it. You're hoping that they say everything's good and you don't need to worry about it. So
we talk about that a lot on the SEM side when clients want to launch a test and the test was quote unquote unsuccessful. Then that's looked at as a failure. In fact, we just found something that doesn't work and that we're never going to put money towards in the near future.
Exactly.
And that's a huge win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as long as you learn something from it, a test or a check or whatever it may be, you know, it's not a negative. And, you know, there's always the alternative of, well, you maybe didn't run a test and you just launched that change and now it's negatively impacted your campaigns. Or maybe you don't go back and look at technical SEO because you don't want to have a waste of time. And then there's an issue that causes your traffic to be cut in half in three months because of a technical SEO issue. So it's better to look and find nothing than not look and keep your fingers crossed and hope for the best. I mean, this is your business that we're talking about.
I think within those four buckets that you outlined, technical, content, design, UX, and promotion, I think someone can understand that they have to keep a pulse on what's going on in the real world. I think someone can absolutely understand and see the implications of keeping a pulse on their competitive landscape. But another thing that you mentioned that I think is very important that I see a lot of brands and companies fall behind on is keeping a log about what's been done. And we talked about this on an analytics podcast with one of our specialists about how you should always annotate things in analytics, and I don't think that's used enough. But what you're mentioning is it sounds like it's very important to know not only just what you did under your SEO umbrella, but really any change that's been made to that site should be logged, because you can go back in time and connect dots or not waste time maybe doing something again. Do you have any thoughts and or tips in how important that log is? Because I would imagine if I were to ask even the clients I manage right now, I would say half of them probably have a good detailed log. The other half would probably say I could do better. How important is that?
Yeah, it's definitely important. And you know, I'd always say, like, when in doubt, document it. But there may be some things that you don't need to document if you made a grammatical update on a page to some copy. You may not have to track everything, but again, when in doubt, track it or document it. And you should definitely, any major technical changes, you should have your developers should have a change log, a version history, they should have backups of the site. There should be, you know, a rigorous plan in place for what went live and when and what it could have caused or what issues could have come up. But also, you know, if you're going to go make any sort of meaningful change to your site, meaningful meaning more than a slight copy edit, if you're going to change a whole page's copy, or if you're going to add large groups of pages, remove pages, move pages, you know, let your internal SEO team member know, or let your SEO agency know. It's better to let them know, have them look at it and say, you know what, this isn't going to cause any issues. Because that's another thing that we do see a lot is people are making changes on their own and they're saying, hey, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get ahead of the ball and I'm going to move some pages around because I think that's what's needed because we're changing our, you know, our service offering here. And they do it. And then we start to see some issues with rankings and traffic declines. And we come back, we have to figure out what went live. We know what went live and we know what changed and what the impact was, but it could have been avoided maybe with some more strategic planning. So definitely keep changes, keep change logs, technical changes, make sure your developers have a plan in place for that and versioning history and backups of the site, but also then have a plan of what you're going to change and share that with your partners or internal SEO team members to make sure that when you're going to make and stay up with the times, you do it in a way that's going to have a positive impact, not a negative one.
All great points. And I want to wrap with one final question. And knowing, Matt, that, I mean, at least I don't think so, that you can predict the future. If you can, great. I don't think that necessarily we have that insight, even with our great relationship with Google either. But I think it's always interesting and something that we don't get asked frequently, but it has come up here and there, which is, you know, in 2020, you've outlined four main buckets and you've really described, you know, the capabilities and resources you need to have ongoing SEO optimization. What does that look like in 5 years? Do you think the SEO landscape is going to stay pretty steady in that regard, that in 5 years from now, we could likely be talking about the same type of buckets and the same methodology when we talk about SEO optimization? Or do you think there could be potentially more drastic shifts on the horizon for SEO?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think at the highest, most strategic level of the areas of focus, those buckets are largely going to remain the same. They're pretty broad. You know, if you talk about technical, that's about as broad as you can get. The things underneath there are definitely going to change quite dramatically over the next 5 years. And no one can predict to what degree, because a lot of that's driven based on Google. But what I will say that's always universally true is that, you know, with SEO, search engines, their goals, and most explicitly Google, who has the majority of traffic and impact on likely your search visibility, their goal is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful for users. And they're following the user, and so we shouldn't follow Google following the user. We should always follow the user. And if you think about these things, anything that we can do, knowing that there's priority orders, to put in place things that are going to benefit our users more are going to be good for SEO, knowing that you have to do them with somebody who knows how that applies to SEO. You can't just say, you know, our audience loves visual content, so let's turn all of our copy into images and then not have any copy, because while that may be true to a certain degree, people like visuals if that's your audience, then from a search perspective, that's also going to be negative, because search engines have to have that content to understand it. And most of the time, users are going to have different intents. There's not going to be 100% of the people that just want a visual. And so you need to think about those fractured intents. Some people are going to want copy. Some people might want images. Some people might want video. So if you think about what's right for your user, your audience, have data from all your different channels, SEM, SEO, analytics, you know, user experience, all of those different areas, and blend that together to focus on what's best for the user and how do we implement it in a way that's going to benefit SEO, SEM, et cetera, then that's going to take you into the future. Some things may not have as big of an impact, but likely if that's your core focus and goal, you're focusing on what's going to benefit you in the future.
Yeah. So many great points, Matt, that you made today. And I would say for the listeners out there who are listening and saying, I get it, but this is still a lot. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't push SEO off to the side. If you really would like more information from our team, and more specifically Matt's team, feel free to send us an email, info@morevisibility.com. We're happy to help in these situations wherever you are in your SEO optimization phase currently. And remember, you have those four buckets here of technical, content, design, UX, and promotion. And I think, Matt, the best quote that I wrote down as you were speaking is, remember, the world is not frozen outside of your company. Matt, do you have any other final tips you want to leave the listeners with today when it comes to SEO optimization?
Yeah, I would just say and reiterate your point that getting started today is better than tomorrow, and tomorrow is better than next week, and next week's better than next month, and next month is better than next year.
Well, if you get started tomorrow, you've already missed about 8 updates.
So. Right. But, you know, to your point, I think a lot of times people can get overwhelmed with everything there is, but that's why you have to find an experienced partner if you need one, or, you know, an experienced internal team member who can really help you through this. But it is always, you know, it's a process, and there's work involved. Absolutely. But it's always better to get started sooner rather than later, so that you can get an understanding of what you need to do, and then you can prioritize and plan for how that will be integrated into your work in the future.
Matt Crowley, VP of Digital Services, thanks so much for stopping by the podcast today.
Thanks, Chuck.